That song always reminds me of church camp and singing it as a youth leader and even as someone who went as a youth. And it always has a special place in my heart. And that last line about just longing to worship. Do you long to worship this morning? Is that why you're here? I hope your answer is yes, and I hope that after our time together in God's Word, that I'll be able to share with you some more reasons, some very powerful reasons why longing to worship is something that each and every one of us should have in our hearts, that desire. Our scripture reading this morning comes from Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in His sufferings in order that we may also share in His glory. The Word of God for the people of God. Have you ever felt the desire to fit in and belong? Have you ever wondered where that desire comes from? And how many of us have been willing over the years to make great sacrifices just so that we could be accepted and find a place where we matter? You see, whether we're teenagers or the young children that were up here or adults, we all like to feel accepted and to feel like we matter. And when we don't feel that way, we hurt. And this is why a lot of people look for that acceptance in all the wrong places. It's why they'll strike out and fellowship with others and groups that really bring nothing of value to them. But what if I told you that God has a different answer for you? You know, last week we spent our time together talking about some of the ministries of the Holy Spirit, and we talked about how He helps us to put to death our old nature, to embrace our new nature, and how He helps us to really take a hold of that new identity that we have in Christ. And I told you that there was too much truth there to focus on it just one Sunday. And so this morning we're going to focus on more of the work of the Holy Spirit, because we're going to talk about how the Holy Spirit really helps us to apply what was accomplished on the cross. And how, because of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, now we have a place in God's family. Now we have a place in His kingdom. And He has given us a spirit of adoption. And we're going to explore this morning what that means. And it reminds me of something a judge had to say to a family on the day they adopted their son. They had waited 15 years to try and have a child through natural means, and it just did not work out for them. And so they were approached one day with a lead on a newborn that needed a family, and they were excited, and they greatly accepted and went through all the hoops that you have to jump through to make that happen. And as they stood before the judge on the day of their adoption, he pointed his finger and asked them, "Is anyone coercing you to adopt this little boy?" After they assured him that they were doing so out of love, he made this statement, "From today on, he is your son. He may disappoint you, even grieve you, but he is your son. Everything you own one day will be his, and he will bear your name." Then he looked to the clerk and gave this command, "So order a change in this child's birth certificate, and may it reflect that these are the parents of this child." You know, I think that's what our Heavenly Father has done for us. You know, we had an old nature. We had an old name. And He looks at us and He says, "That's not your name anymore. I'm going to give you a new name. I'm going to give you a new nature in Christ. And I'm going to set you apart in a way that you've never been set apart before. You see, this subject of adoption and being a child of God is no small matter in the life of the believer. Warren Wiersbe says this, that a proper understanding of adoption is essential if you and I are to enjoy the Christian life to the fullest. I think that's why Martin Lloyd-Jones lamented the fact that there was so little teaching on the subject. He said, for some explicable reason, adoption is a doctrine about which we rarely hear. And then the great pastor J.I. Packer once said this, if you want to find out how much someone understands Christianity, find out how much they make of the thought of being God's child and having God as Father. He goes on to say, if this is not the thought that prompts and controls their worship and prayers and their whole outlook on life, it means that they do not fully understand Christianity. For everything that Christ taught, everything that makes the New Testament new and better than the old, everything that is distinctly Christian as opposed to merely Jewish is summed up in the fatherhood of God. What he's saying there is if you understand what God has done for you, if you understand that you who were a stranger in this world, who walked around ruled by your flesh, if you understand that God loves you so much to pick you up, draw you to Him, fill you with the Spirit, help you apply what Jesus did on the cross, if you understand that and you have been adopted into His family, I don't know about you, but it makes me excited to want to worship Him. It makes me excited to have a relationship with Him. It makes me excited when I pray. It makes me excited when I sing. It makes me excited about being a part of the body of believers. And it's the Holy Spirit that helps us to comprehend just how important this idea of adoption is and how important it is to be a child of God. And it's through His work that not only do we understand our place in the universe, but we also get to see the very heart of God, a heart filled with love, with compassion, and with kindness. You see, the Holy Spirit always leads you to your new position in Christ. He's always pointing you there. He's always drawing you there. He's always leading you there. That is the Holy Spirit applying to you what was done on the cross. That is the Holy Spirit helping you to see the new position you have in Christ through Christ's life, death, and resurrection. It is a great thing that God has forgiven us for our sins. Amen? It is great. I don't know where I would be if He hadn't. It's great that He offered mercy to us and grace when we need it the most. But He doesn't stop there. If He stopped there, He would still be hard to approach. If He stopped there, it would be hard to still have a relationship with Him. He went way further. Notice what Paul says, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. We had these little children up here earlier. And you know what I love to see? The boldness of a child. They are so bold and often unapologetic. I could be in the middle of working on the most important things, and my son or my daughter will run up and crawl in my arms and make me stop whatever I'm doing so I can focus on them. Anybody ever had a child do that to you? I've got a dog that'll do that to me too. But there's a boldness there. There's a comfort there. And that's one of the gifts of adoption. We have this gift where we can go to God and we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be afraid to talk to Him. We don't have to be afraid to pray. We don't have to be afraid to listen for what He's going to say, because anything He's going to share is going to be for your ultimate benefit in His kingdom. It reminds me of that Price is Right game show. I know most of us, if you've ever been at home on a Monday through Friday, we've all seen it, right? And I love that moment. It's one of my favorite moments on the show when they're up there playing one of those silly games. And all of a sudden, they get this invitation for a greater prize. And the host goes, and that's not all. What do we have behind the curtain? A new car. Or a trip to some exotic location. And they're all thrilled about it. And I love the reactions. They'll be jumping up and down and shouting and just amazed by it. And sometimes they win it and sometimes they don't. That's kind of what God is doing for us. He says, not only am I going to forgive you for your sins, not only am I going to erase your past and remove your sin as far as the east is from the west, I'm going to give you a place in my family and a purpose for your life. All who are led by the Spirit can have that. That's a lot better than a new car that you might or might not win. You see, Christ not only dealt with our past by offering mercy instead of condemnation, he also dealt with our present and our future with an invitation to be a part of God's family. We would do well to pay attention to those words, he leads. That's one of the chief ministries of the Holy Spirit. Leading you, guiding you, directing you. Not just when you need his wisdom in a decision you're trying to make, but every step of the way, always drawing you closer to the heart of God. Always helping you to understand God in his fullness as best we human beings are capable of understanding God. If you've ever seen someone who just seems so close to God, and you think, I sure would love to have that. I sure would love to have that kind of relationship. I sure would love to have that kind of fellowship. You know how they got there? They followed the Holy Spirit there. Every step of the way, he led them there. You see, he leads us away from those things that would distract and lead us to despair, and he leads us toward those things that promote peace and prosperity in our hearts. What a gift we have in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit also makes your relationship with God permanent. What are we told in verse 15? The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live again in fear. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption into sonship, into daughtership. You've been adopted. We get that illustration, right? I mean, I mentioned my dog earlier who is so amazing. I love him. And, you know, he didn't start out being ours. When he was about 5 years old, when he was first born, he was given to Missy's grandmother. And about when the dog was about 5 years old, five years later, her grandmother went to be with the Lord. And this dog had no home. He had no place. And so Missy and I talked about it, and we said we'd take him in. It took him all of about a day to feel at home at our place. Wherever we sit, he sits. Wherever we go, he goes. If we're out in the yard playing, he's out in the yard playing. If we're inside watching some television, he sits there. I don't think he can see what's on television, but he definitely sits there in one of our laps. That's the kind of comfort that he has. And I want you to know that's the kind of comfort you can have with God. Wherever the Spirit goes, you can follow. Wherever God leads, you can be. You can dwell in that place. The Apostle John explains it like this in 1 John 3:1. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. What a beautiful, beautiful verse that is. To be called children of God, to be adopted into his family. In the New Testament world, they were very familiar with the idea of adoption. And in the process of adoption, the adopted person lost all rights to their old family. They lost their name. They lost whatever inheritance they would have had. They lost every single bit of it. But what did they gain? They gained a new name. They gained a new inheritance. They had a new father. This old life was completely erased away. And this new life was what they received. And they had a whole new set of expectations. The Holy Spirit helps us to walk into that reality with God. We talked about it last week. You're not defined any longer by your sins and your failures. Now you're defined by who you are in Christ. I don't know about you, but that sounds a whole lot better to me. You see, your adoption in Christ simultaneously reveals God's plans and His heart. Children of God, as children of God, we come to know that God chose us. God chose you to be His child. We're told in the book of Ephesians that He chose you since the foundations of the world. Listen to what He says in Ephesians 1:4. For He chose us in Him, in Christ, before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. How amazing is that? God didn't have to choose any of us, yet He chose to love you. He chose you to be with Him. God also, in love, set you apart from the world. Ephesians 1, verse 5. In love, He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and His will. He set you apart. You want to know why you don't fit in with the world sometimes? You want to know why sometimes maybe people don't invite you to stuff? It's because you were made for a different world. You have a different place. You have a different home. So it should only make sense that sometimes you're going to stand out like a sore thumb because you were made for somewhere else, because you've been set apart for somewhere else. And God's surprising act of grace instills adoration and worship in us. I hope that's what it does for you. That when we reflect upon what God has done for us, the place that He has given us, that we want to sing, that we want to shout, that we want to pray, and that we want to praise, because He's worthy of it all. You see, the Holy Spirit helps you enjoy your privileges in Christ. And make no mistake about it, you have privileges. What are we told in our passage? The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit. We talked about that a little last week. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs with God, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in His sufferings, in order that we may also share in His glory. What a beautiful, beautiful passage that is. You see, the Romans whom Paul addressed this letter to were familiar with adoption. It was more commonplace in the Roman world than in the Jewish world. And even their emperor, they knew of him adopting someone. You see, Julius Caesar adopted Octavius, who was then able to succeed his father and become Caesar Augustus. That's the power of adoption. Here, Octavius, just a normal person, not all that different from you or me, became Caesar Augustus because of adoption. How much more, how many more benefits will we receive in our spiritual adoption, being co-heirs with Christ? You see, the benefits of being adopted into God's family are numerous and life-changing to anyone who is willing to receive them. Your status now trumps your performance. This is one of my favorites. Your status now trumps your performance. It makes me think of the game Spades. I love to play it. I love to play any card game. And one of the things about Spades is, if you don't know the rules, I'm not going to explain them all to you, but you have to play whatever suit has been played. So if I play diamonds, Greg has to play diamonds, and Chris has to play diamonds, and so does Joyce. But unless you don't have any diamonds and you have one of those spades, it doesn't matter how high the card that's played, you can play the lowest spade and you win the hand. That's what happens in our adoption. Our position now trumps our performance. God doesn't look at you and say, well, you did okay today. I'll send you some grace down. God looks at you and says, you're a child of mine who I love, and I'm going to send you the grace you need to thrive today. Your suffering now comes with a purpose. I like what John Calvin had to say about it. Persecutions are, in a way, seals of adoption to the children of God. Paul wants to make it very clear, just because you've been adopted into God's family, you're still going to have trouble. After all, isn't that what Jesus says? In this world, you will have trouble. But make no mistake, I've overcome the world. If they hated me, Jesus said, they're going to hate you. So your suffering, though, it has a purpose to it. Because it's maturing you in faith, helping you to draw closer to God. And then your situation. Right now, your situation might be good, might be bad, might be somewhere in between. But your situation is now flooded with both present and future promises. All kinds of promises. Eternal life, for starters. We get to spend eternity with our Father in heaven. What greater gift is there than that? You know, just to hit this home for us, I'm reminded of a story I read from Reader's Digest, and a woman talked about not understanding how her child, her newborn son, could have dark hair when her and her husband both had light hair, and she was talking to her mom about it, and her mom said, well, your dad has dark hair. And this daughter said, yeah, Mom, but I'm adopted. And her mother said, I always forget that. And the child said, you know, that meant to me more to me than anything I ever heard my mom say. That she loved me so much that she even forgot I was adopted. I want you to know that's how much God loves you. He doesn't look at you and say, oh, there's Kenny Butcher, that kind of second-class child of mine. No, he looks at you and me and he says, look, there's Kenny Butcher, there's Christopher, there's VJ. Children of mine, co-heirs with Christ. What a difference that is. So we're going to get ready to worship in a minute. And I hope and pray you're going to do it with some joy in your heart, because we have a lot to praise him for. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for adopting us. We thank you for giving us a place. You know, on this day and weekend when we celebrate Memorial Day and we think about the sacrifice, the cost, what has been given up for our freedoms, we're drawn to the cross because we think about what Jesus did for us, and he did it so that we could have new life and life abundantly, so that we could be adopted into your family and be heirs, co-heirs with Christ. Lord, we pray that you would help us to embrace that reality and apply the work that has been done through the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As Michael comes forward to lead us in our closing hymn, I want to invite you this morning. If God is laying something on your heart, if the Holy Spirit's working on you, come down and worship and praise him. If you don't feel any promptings, you know what your prompting needs to be? Let's just worship. Let's just praise. Let's just sing with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul and strength to the one who loved you so much that he sent his son to die for you, sent his spirit to help you walk in and apply everything that was accomplished through that death, and calls you his child. Let us continue as we worship him.